You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the weekend. This is Locked On Rockets, and I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As you probably know, Locked On Rockets is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is basically the Houston affiliate for a network of team podcasts around the league. And there's also a Locked On NBA show that covers the league as a whole. Anyway, because of that network, we do try to have some general themes. While I think most of my listeners here at Locked On Rockets are diehard Houston fans, there are some others from around the league who just want more intel and to learn more about other teams. So because of that, as a network, we do try to have some overarching topics. For example, if I break down the Rockets' depth chart at center and have a show based around that, someone else might be curious about what, say, San Antonio has to offer at that same position. So to give listeners some idea as to what to expect, we do try to have some unified themes. This week has been crossover week, as you probably noticed with our show the other day talking about the Warriors with Danny LaRue. Personally, I also hopped on the Spurs affiliate and broke down how Houston might match up with San Antonio. That's been this past week. This next week is going to be depth chart week. Basically, what you're going to be seeing is shows across the network previewing how their team's rotation breaks down by position. But here in Houston, there's just one problem, and well, it's a good problem. For us, next week means actual basketball. While most teams are not going to be starting up training camp until closer to the beginning of October, the Rockets, as you're probably aware, have media day next Friday and the opening of training camp on Saturday. That's because the Rockets are going to China during the preseason to play a couple of games against the Pelicans. It's great for branding, good for the exposure of the organization, but to compensate for the travel time and all the adjustments due to the time zones, the Rockets really need to start camp earlier than most other teams if they want to get in the same reps and the same practice time. So, with the Rockets starting camp earlier than most teams, that means by the end of next week, we're going to have some real on-court, concrete basketball items to discuss. Imagine that. We could also have news on the fronts for Donatas Moniunis and the team's announcing plans. So, anticipating more actual news by the end of next week, I'm going to go ahead and get started today on a little bit of our rotation talk. Today's show is going to be primarily about the guards. Now, a lot of shows across the network are going to break it down by point guard, shooting guard. In Houston, that's not really going to work because, well, you start a show with, let's say we're going to talk about the Rockets' point guards. Well, Pat Beverly is the point guard on defense, and James Harden is the point guard on offense. So when you look at Houston's rotation, it's so integrated that it doesn't really make sense to break down the backcourt by each individual position because the responsibilities overlap so much. So it's much easier to look at the rotation as a whole at the two guard spots and what fans can expect. I think we heard from Daryl Morey in the offseason that the plan is to start Pat Beverly and James Harden the same as this past season and bring Eric Gordon, the big offseason acquisition from New Orleans, off the bench as your super sub, your sixth man. This makes sense because, really, if you were to start Gordon and Harden together, there'd be serious questions as to who guards the primary ball handler on the other team. Certainly, there's expectations for James Harden to be a better defender now that his fitness is allegedly much improved and he's going to have more help on offense, thus reducing his workload. But if you want James Harden to be an elite offensive player, you do not want him checking the likes of Russell Westbrook and Stephen Curry on a regular basis. You're going to be asking to wear him down and for his body to break down over time. So you want someone other than James Harden to pick up those speedy point guards, those quick guys, and Eric Gordon, while he might can do it as a pinch, we know that knee injuries have zapped his explosiveness. He's not the same player he was 4 years ago, so while he can certainly still be effective, he's not great at stopping the ball, and when you look at the amount of elite point guards in the West, there is clearly a role for Pat Beverly, at least defensively, to be your point guard. You need someone who is able to guard the point guard around the pick and roll, to hound them relentlessly up the floor, and Pat Beverly is by far your best candidate to do that. So when you look at a Houston team that has defensive questions across the board, there are a lot of analysts, not necessarily me, because I think the Rockets will be mediocre defensively, but there are a lot of people who think the Rockets are just going to be bad. that's why you're not going to remove Pat Beverly from your starting lineup. They haven't formally announced it, but for Gerald Moore to go out of his way at the Summer League and say that he anticipated Beverly being the starter, I'd say that's a pretty significant tell. Barring something extraordinary happening in training camp, Eric Gordon playing out of his mind, I think you can pencil Beverly and Harden in as your starting backcourt. Now, the reason Beverly and Harden are your starting backcourt, first and foremost, it's defense. But now I want to turn to the offensive side of the ball because this is where it gets interesting. James Harden, he is definitely your point guard on the offensive side. I don't care how they line up. I don't care how it's listed in the box score. Harden's a great passer, averaged 7.5 assists, sixth in the league last year. And we've heard Mike D'Antoni say this offseason that he thinks Harden could average 12 or 13 assists per game. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it shows you where Mike D'Antoni's head is at and how he envisions his offense being run. We know that Mike D'Antoni's systems thrive with a ball handler and distributor like Steve Nash was on those Suns teams a decade ago, and in Houston, the best candidate to potentially fill that role is James Harden. The question is he going to be efficient enough? Because, yes, he averaged 7.5 assists per game last year, but, well, he had 4.6 turnovers, which led the entire NBA. Now, one reason for those turnovers is the lack of options around him on offense, or was, I should say. When you have the likes of Corey Brewer spreading the floor, and when your second-best playmaker is Trevor Ariza, that allows opposing defenses to hedge and defend Harden in ways that Stephen Curry and Russell Westbrook would have never seen in a million years. So now that you have upgraded the roster around Harden to where he has people like Eric Gordon and like Ryan Anderson to take away some of the playmaking burden, then potentially that could help him become more efficient. But while that accounts for part of Harden's problems with turnovers, it's not everything. There are times when he's a little too careless. There are times when he's a little too slow. There are times he's too predictable. These are all nitpicks because, obviously, James is a top five player in the world. He's incredibly good. But we're not talking about him, you know, is he a top five player? Because, yes, he clearly is. We're talking about, is he efficient enough to be the primary playmaker, basically a point guard on a championship team? The Rockets are going to give Harden the chance to be that this year because, well, there aren't many other options. You know, there aren't too many traditional point guards in the league. And rather than push the envelope unnecessarily, well, if the Rockets can find an internal solution to Mike D'Antoni, Steve Nash, why not try it out? So that's what's going to be one of the big questions of this season is, can James Harden be that guy? Can he be the Steve Nash? If so, great. If he answers that question affirmatively, then that's one huge question mark about the Rockets in terms of building a championship contender. That's one big piece of the puzzle that can be solved. If not, you'll see the Rockets either at the trade deadline or especially next offseason potentially looking through the traditional point guard market, maybe going after someone like a Ricky Rubio. But for now, this is a season where expectations are lower. There certainly you hope the Rockets can win 50-plus games and be a mid-tier playoff team, but I don't think anyone thinks they're going to be on the level of the Cavs or the Warriors. So why not experiment? And that's what this is going to be with Harden. Is he efficient enough to be that primary playmaker, to be that guy who can get 12 or 13 assists in a game if that's what the Rockets need? We're going to find out. And, of course, the natural complement, if Harden's going to be your playmaker, well, you need a shooting guard. And, well, Pat Beverly, on offense, he's a shooter. That's what he does these days. He shot a career-high 40% from three last year. Really did it on 4.5 threes per game, which is 4.5 three-point attempts per game, I should say. But the point is, he has developed into quite a 3-and-D player. When Pat Beverly entered the league a few years ago, he was an average shooter from outside, good enough to play. He slowly refined his shot to where now he's really freaking good. He's a marksman. And that's what Pat Beverly is going to need to stay an effective player in this league, because Beverly is 28 now. He's not over the hill, but certainly the older he gets, the less he's going to be that true bulldog, that guy that we saw when he first came up, because, well, that's just going to wear him out. So as he loses a little bit defensively, he needs to compensate for that by refining the technical aspects of his game, primarily his ability to shoot. And if he shoots 40% from three, that makes him a pretty ideal complement for James Harden. That's why they've started together for really 3 years running now, and I think that's why there's a tremendous amount of comfort with the Rockets and that particular backcourt. The new variable in the mix is Eric Gordon. And I'm on the record as saying I think Eric Gordon was a very savvy signing. I actually think if he's healthy, he's going to make more of an impact on the team than Ryan Anderson. Because really, Gordon has shown flashes of being a truly explosive player, a big time scorer. Explosive is the wrong word, because certainly the knee injuries have taken away a little bit of the explosiveness. But what he's lost in explosion, he's added in terms of general basketball IQ. Very smart player. He's become even a better shooter over the years. And so he's someone who, in a secondary role after James Harden, can be a really ideal fit. I know he's someone the Rockets have chased for some time, so they are thrilled to have him. And when you look at the injury concerns, last year was a complete fluke. The finger injury, no one is prone to, you know, breaking a finger in a freak accident. That's just bad luck. As far as the knee problems that he had for quite a few years, he hasn't had a major issue with that the last couple of years, so knock on wood, with any luck, you can have Eric Gordon playing a pretty key role. Is he a point guard or a shooting guard? Obviously, he's more of a shooting guard. He doesn't have the defensive quickness to stop most point guards on that side, and he's not a true distributor, but he does have enough handles to at least bring the ball up the floor. This is not someone who can never play point guard. He's not traditional, but in the same way that Jason Terry was able to bring the ball up the floor in space, that's something you can see Eric Gordon do, of course, with a lot more athleticism than Jason Terry did. But if Jason Terry can be your point guard, which he was for big stretches of the last 2 years, Eric Gordon absolutely can too, and that's how he's going to get a lot of his minutes. Because really, when you look at the backcourt rotation and the minutes breakdown, we know Harden's going to average 38 minutes a game. You know, it could be 37, could be 39, but let's say 38. I think they definitely want to keep him under 40 a game, because you don't want to wear him out, you don't want to make him prone to injuries, you want to keep him fresh for the playoffs. But 38 minutes a game, that leaves 58 minutes for the remainder of the backcourt, because I'm saying 96 minutes for the two positions. So 38 to Harden, 58 for the rest. Ideal breakdown, 29 minutes for Pat Beverly, 29 minutes for Eric Gordon. And, you know, 10 of Eric Gordon's minutes would be those other shooting guard minutes that Harden doesn't play. But close to 20 minutes are going to be backing up Pat Beverly and playing alongside James Harden. Now, a lot of this is going to be situational, because a lot of this, if you're playing, for example, early in the second and fourth quarters, you might can stagger the minutes to where you have Gordon and Harden playing when the other team is resting their primary point guard, and thus not having Pat Beverly to stop that big time, that quick probing point guard might not be as important if you stagger the minutes to where Gordon is your point guard in the minutes when the opposing team is not playing that type of player. I also want to point out that it's possible that Eric Gordon and Pat Beverly could each average 30 or more minutes a game. Now, it depends on if they stay healthy. Both have certainly shown a tendency for nagging injuries here and there. But you absolutely could see a three-guard lineup of Beverly, Gordon, and Harden all playing together at various stretches. Because you know what? Harden's 6'5", Eric Gordon's 6'4". It's not ideal height for, you know, someone to play small forward, but it's not crazy small. And in a league that's trending smaller and smaller, and in a system under Mike D'Antoni that prioritizes, I shouldn't say small ball, it's skilled ball, but basically players who are fast, can shoot the ball, and make plays, I think you're absolutely going to see some three-guard matchups to where maybe even finish the game. I could see the Rockets finishing games against certain opponents with Beverly, Gordon, Harden, Trevor Ariza, and Clint Capella. So, especially in Mike D'Antoni's system, you could see even more than 96 minutes per game out of those three based on the matchup. But sticking to a general rule of thumb, 96 minutes, I'm going to say 38, 29, 29, and I think we all know some of it's just going to be situational. It's who are you playing? There are going to be some minutes to where, you know, you might want Pat Beverly to play 35 minutes because his defense is just needed that much to check Russell Westbrook or to drive Russell crazy. There might be others where, you know what, the other team doesn't really have that great of a point guard, so you need the shooting of Eric Gordon and Harden together. And maybe Gordon plays 35 minutes a night. But in general, I think those three guys are going to be your rotation. It's very obvious. Gordon is your sixth man off the bench, but he's playing a little bit at both spots. Where it gets a little hairy is behind them. Yes, you have Pablo Prigioni, but at 39 years old, you're certainly not counting on Pablo Prigioni to play any kind of major role, nor are you counting on Pablo to be particularly good. I've said before on this show, the reason I think the Rockets signed Pablo over other options who were probably better basketball players is that Pablo was more willing to accept his role. Because if Gordon, Beverly, and Harden are all healthy, there are going to be many nights where the fourth backcourt player does not play at all. And when you're coming off a season like the Rockets did last year, where there were chemistry problems, team underachieved, the mix never really worked, the idea of getting an unhappy camper, potentially someone who's not going to be thrilled if he doesn't play, I don't think that's something Mike D'Antoni was particularly fond of. So you get Pablo at 39 years old. He's perfect for, you know, he's not going to do anything stupid. You can count on him to give you not terrible minutes if he's needed, if foul trouble or injuries force him to be called upon. But if he doesn't play, then he's going to be fine with that as well. Where that does hurt you a little bit is in terms of upside. Because Pablo at 39, I don't think you want him being a rotation player. He was never a particularly athletic player, but certainly that's dipped even more over the last few years. Ideally, you want him as a quasi-coach at the end of the bench, just called on situationally here and there. In the past, the Rockets have had fourth guards. They've had Jason Terry the last couple of years, but I understand why they didn't bring Jason Terry back for that role. At his age, with his shot fading, he was already a bad defender. Bad defender with a fading shot, that was not going to end well. So for now, and of course, with Gordon, you have a third guard with much more upside than what they've had in the past. Gordon's someone who should be able to reliably play 30 minutes a game, so it's not like when they counted on Corey Brewer for some of the backup shooting guard minutes. This is someone who you can count on, and so with a third option that's more reliable, your fourth option becomes a little bit less important. The Rockets do have some undrafted young guards that they're going to bring to camp. Gary Payton, Isaiah Taylor from Texas. There are some options, but I would not count on an undrafted free agent playing any sort of significant role as a rookie. I think the one that the Rockets have the most hope for would be Gary Payton, but Payton is a classic all-around player with an inconsistent shot, so he is a classic case of someone the Rockets are going to send down to Rio Grande Valley and try to work with on his jump shot, work on the mechanics of that, and then hopefully in a year or two, with an improved jump shot, he's able to make an impact. I don't think you're going to see Gary Payton playing a primary role at any point this year. However, because of his upside, he's someone that, you know, there's more upside bringing him to camp, using one of those 20 roster spots going in training camp, as there would be, there's more upside with Gary Payton than there would be for signing a random veteran. So, especially with Gordon, Beverly, and Harden in place right now, there's not even a role for another veteran. So clearly, this is why you would go with youth right now. However, if a need pops up during the year, I do think the Rockets are going to be scanning the waiver wires and also looking internationally. You look last year when they brought in Andrew Godlock in March for the stretch run of the season. They also brought in Michael Beasley, who's a forward, but I think it's the same principle. When injuries struck and they saw themselves at a need for potentially more scoring, they were able to go out and get a couple of decent players who did help at various points down the stretch of the year. And really, if you look at it, when you look at the caliber of options the Rockets could assign this summer relative to Godlock and Beasley, it's not worth preemptively making a move. You can always, or almost always, find reliable options like that, especially if you're savvy at scouting, which certainly Daryl Morey and the Rockets are. So I think that's why the Rockets didn't really address a proven fourth guard behind those big three. I think it's a combination of they'd rather the roster spots go to young players with more upside, developmental guys like Isaiah Taylor and Gary Payton. There's not a real role. There's not clear minutes to start the year, assuming everyone is healthy, so why not gamble on long-term upside? And you know what? If there needs to be a stopgap, if there's someone that they need to call on just to make a few shots off the bench, then you know what? That's the kind of role you can fill during the year, as they did this past year with Godlock, as well as with Michael Beasley. And if they were to make an acquisition, I hear people ask a lot, you know, should they go after a point guard or a shooting guard? I think it would totally depend on the need. You know, what player gets injured? Where is the hole? I think that would play into it. But in general, I would be surprised if they went after a true point guard. You know, I think Pablo Prigioni is someone that, you know, they see as a temporary band-aid if they need it. But as I said leading off this show, I think this year is all about experimenting with James Harden basically as your primary facilitator. Can it work? And we're about to find out. He's got the weapons around him. And you know what? If it doesn't, then I do think they'll look next summer to potentially bring in more of a pure point guard. It's just going to depend on what the results are this year. One thing I don't buy, and I guess this can be my closing thought, I don't buy the notion that because the Ty Lawson experiment didn't work out, this proves that you can't play a traditional point guard next to James Harden. I think that is absolute bull. Ty Lawson did not work out because Ty Lawson was not ready to play basketball last year. I don't think it had anything to do with the fit, the scheme, James Harden, the coaching. He was a bad basketball player. Something happened. I don't know if it was the off-court turmoil. He had the DWI situation, the rehab. I don't know if it was maybe he got off to a bad start and his confidence was hit. But even when he did play, even when they brought him off the bench in a clear role where he could just dominate the ball, he was not a good player. When he went to Indiana after the Rockets bought him out, he was not a good player. So I don't buy that the Ty Lawson experiment taught us anything in regards to who can or can't play next to James Harden. All the Ty Lawson experiment did was tell us that Ty Lawson was a bad basketball player last season. That's it. Anyway, that unhappy note might be a good place to take a break for the weekend. Because really, that's how I see the Rockets' backcourt rotation. Harden 38 minutes, Gordon and Beverly each about 30. I think Beverly and Harden are your starters because of Beverly's defense. But again, Beverly and Gordon, they basically are going to play about the same minutes and have a very similar role. So that starter is just a name-only type thing. They're both going to be key members of the team. Pablo Prigioni, your main backup in the rotation, someone that's just going to play spot minutes if needed. And if there's any kind of significant injury, I think the Rockets will look at waiver wires, look internationally. You could also play, you know, some of the forwards, Corey Brewer, Sam Decker, KJ McDaniels. One of them could play shooting guard in a pinch, but I don't think there's anyone ideal there because Decker might be a little slow for it, and KJ McDaniels and Brewer, I just don't see them shooting well enough to be a long-term guard option in Mike D'Antoni's system. So if there's any kind of major injury, I do think they'll look externally. Anyway, time to wrap up. Twitter, you can follow me at Ben DuBose. You can follow the show at Locked On Rockets. You can also email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com with any questions for me or inquiries about becoming a sponsor, because we are always welcoming more sponsors. If you have interest in reaching a targeted demographic, we can definitely offer you a lot on that front. So again, thanks to all of you for listening, and I'll be chatting with you again early next week. Good night.